For people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Got Mason Woods and Joe Gaither behind the glass helping us out this morning. We're just a couple of days removed from the NFL draft, and we'll talk NFL draft. We'll talk this Jordan Addison thing.
Is next year's mock ready?
No. I will say, though, the first three picks, any order you want, any order you want, this one ain't changing. Look, I saw a photo that had DeMarvin Leal go fifth, and this was all, last year. Looking ahead to this year's NFL draft, DeMarvin Leal, who's a third-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers, was in the top five. Spencer Rattler, who is saying go Cox in South Carolina. Sam Howell was in that top five. Kayvon Thibodeau was actually like third or fourth in that. So plenty of chaos ensued within the calendar year. But next year, permanent ink, permanent marker, write it in stone, take your example of choice, Will Anderson, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. That's the top three. Unless one of these quarterbacks, I really like Phil Yurkovich out of Boston College. If somebody like that kind of sneaks up, these teams that still need quarterbacks, because even though Atlanta took Desmond Ridder, even though the Atlanta Falcons took Desmond Ridder, I don't think that takes them out of the Bryce Young sweepstakes. Even though the Washington Commanders took Sam Howell, I don't think that takes them out of the quarterback sweepstakes. You'll still have the Detroit Lions. You'll still have the Houston Texans, most likely. Still plenty of landing spots for all those quarterbacks in next year's draft. And again, I think there's so many different directions you could go with Will Anderson, especially if any of those three teams, four or five teams that I just listed, don't take a quarterback in next year's draft for whatever reason. Or if a team that has a good quarterback, that quarterback gets hurt and they slide all the way down into the top five, have a bad season, Will Anderson is going to be paired, you know, with another talented. There you go. Joe Gaither says the Bears are going to bench Justin Fields so they can tank for Will Anderson. That's a great idea. There's nobody to protect him, and they didn't draft any wide receivers. So did you draft one? When, in the sixth round? In the third. Okay, don't remember who it was. But not a lot of options to throw to. Velus Jones. I like Velus Jones. Got to talk to him at the Senior Bowl. Mobile kid went out to USC, ended up at Tennessee.
Yeah, they drafted a sixth-round receiver in the third.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of people were kind of all over the place on Velus Jones. But I liked him. He was a lot of fun to talk to at the Senior Bowl as well. So, you know, not a bad idea, though. Nobody to protect him. Nobody really to throw to. Just bench him. Go get Will Anderson next year. It works out. But no, next year's mock draft is not ready. It will not be ready. I don't do those things, but, you know, other people can have fun with that. That's just a tad bit more chaotic than I would like to indulge in. But coming off of this weekend, we all know, and you're going to hear it, for a long time from these dog fans. They had what, five first rounders all on defense, just short of tying Alabama and Miami with that sixth. Had a first overall pick. You know, they love that. 15 Georgia Bulldogs were selected in this weekend's NFL draft. That is an NFL record. And that one's probably the most frustrating because Alabama only had 13 guys that were even draft eligible that went out for this draft. And just barely over half of them were drafted. Seven Crimson Tide guys. All of them in the first three rounds, by the way. All of them in the first three rounds. And all of them going to good landing spots, I think. Some will have to wait longer than others. I want to break down these Houston Texans guys first, then we'll talk about the Washington football team guys, the Washington Commanders guys, and kind of discuss their landing spots. But all that to be said, you know, we expected Georgia to handle some records and to do some pretty impressive things. One of the biggest surprises of the weekend was no doubt the fact that these quarterbacks slid the way they did. What was it, the 84th overall selection, Malik Willis, to the Tennessee Titans? The 74th selection overall, I think, Desmond Ridder was to the Atlanta Falcons. 50-some-odd picks between Kenny Pickett and the next quarterback, that being Desmond Ridder. Quarterback that I loved, Caleb Ellaby, didn't get selected. Carson Strong, undrafted. He's now a Philadelphia Eagle. Ellaby to the Seahawks. He could potentially win that job. I'm only slightly joking. That was a pretty big surprise. And, you know, I watched the NFL Network. If you watched ESPN, I'm sure they were the same way. They didn't shut up about these quarterbacks. Talked about them the whole time. And when it wasn't those quarterbacks, it was Baker Mayfield, right? Understandable. That's all well and good. Plenty of big surprises. Phil Mathis was surprised that he was drafted as high as he was. He told Washington Press right after he was drafted, hey, I thought I was going third, fourth round, so I'm excited. I'm glad. Washington PR people probably telling Phil to shut the hell up and don't tell people what you thought your value was and that we reached entirely way too high for you. Nonetheless, he'll fit in well there. They love their Alabama guys. No, the biggest surprise of the weekend is that Slade Bolden, first of all, took an absolute eternity to land somewhere as an undrafted free agent. I don't know if that's his fault or there was some kind of bidding war, but that he didn't land with the New England Patriots. You know who did sign with the New England Patriots? De'Eriq King. He's probably going to be a camp wide receiver for them. He's not going to play quarterback. It's not happening. But one of the biggest surprises is that Slade Bolden is not a New England Patriot. No, he is a Baltimore Raven.
He's going to make that team.
He is. Joe's shaking his head. No, he's making that team. There's no wide receivers in Baltimore. There's Rashad Bateman, and then there is just a chasm of emptiness. Lamar Jackson has no idea who he's throwing the ball to except for Andrews, the big tight end. One of the best tight ends in the country.
And
in
the two NFL. More rookies that they drafted.
Yeah, but I mean, like, come on. I've got no problem saying right now he's going to make that team. And that doesn't mean he's going to be, like, productive. I didn't say he's going to even catch a pass. He's just going to make the team in some form or fashion. Keep in mind, John Harbaugh is a special teams guy. He could use a special teams player like Slade Bolden, I'm sure. But overall, I mean, you know, good for Slade, good for all our guys. A lot of guys did not get drafted. Six in total. And, of course, Slade Bolden goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Chris Allen, I think this is a fantastic spot for him to learn, going out to Denver with the Broncos. Now, of course, you know, Von Miller's not out there to teach anybody, but still, they have had a great, great history of having fantastic edge backers. He fits the scheme very, very well. Josh Jobe is going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Chris Owens coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Probably the best shot for him to make a roster. The Steelers are still pretty bare bones. I know they feel better. They didn't even select an offense lineman in this draft. But still, strong option for him. LeBryan Ray, he's going to the New England Patriots. Now, Daniel Wright, I have not seen anything about him landing anywhere. Could be some time. Could have just slipped through the cracks. We'll see. Where I want to get started are with the two Houston Texans guys. John Metchie selected 44th overall, and Christian Harris selected in the third round. I think, 87? I'll pull up.
75th.
Which was really close to where I had him selected in my mock draft, by the way. I didn't get very much right in my mock draft, but I did get a couple of things, and the value of Christian Harris was one of those things. Because I said, if those linebackers fall in weird ways, and then other teams are going to take the kind of guys they like more, a Chad Muma, who did go before Christian Harris, that was going to kind of force him to the early parts of the third round instead of the late parts of the second round. And he went to the team that I thought he was going to all along. I did a lot of mock drafts where Christian Harris ended up with the Houston Texans. Now, if you go, this is my source for depth charts. I trust them pretty greatly, ourlads.com. They've got Christian Harris kind of slotted in as the backup Will linebacker right now behind Kamu Grugier-Hill. Now, here's the thing with Kamu Grugier-Hill. Houston is his fourth team in 5 years. So he's not, like, really etched in stone as the starting Will linebacker, the big guy from Eastern Illinois. He's been around the league, right? New England, Philly, Miami, Houston. He's been around. Not particularly great either. So there's an opportunity still there for Christian Harris to win that job and start to help build something in Houston. So that's why I love the fit there for him. It's going to work out. He moves into a 4-3 defense now. That'll be slightly interesting. But nonetheless, playing next to a guy like Christian Kirksey, that's a great guy to learn from. Jalen Reeves-Maven is a fantastic linebacker from Tennessee that's been in the league for a long time. He's been a journeyman, but he's been pretty good. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, another one similar in that vein. So there's guys for him to learn from. Lovie Smith is his head coach. So I think, you know, that is a scheme that is going to fit well with him. I think being in a cover two scheme like Lovie Smith runs, all of that sort of stuff, there's a good opportunity there for him to be successful. On the other side of the ball, that's where we find John Metchie, who is the first player selected on day two. You don't like it? You don't like it?
I think that's the best thing I can say about it is that I don't like it as a Titans fan.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But Davis Mills throwing the ball around. He'll have Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, and John Metchie most likely as his three starters, Philip Dorsett and Chris Conley. Now, that's the thing that kind of stresses me out a little bit for John Metchie. That's a lot of names. You know, like, it's not a lot of great players. Don't misunderstand it. But that is a lot of names. There's a lot of guys that have had a lot of anticipation to their careers, especially Chris Conley and Philip Dorsett. Dorsett's a former first-round pick. you know, those are guys that you anticipate at some point, like the light is going to click and they're going to be very good. Both those guys are burners, though. You'd think they would be more Brandon Cook's backups. As far as John Metchie goes, there's nobody else on this team that really fits what his skill set is. I think he comes in immediate slot receiver, and I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, like 80, 85 receptions in his first season from Davis Mills. Davis Mills got to throw the ball to somebody. Brandon Cook's often injured. Nico Collins, second-year guy, not overly dynamic and also not a volume receiver. I say again, Davis Mills got to throw the ball to somebody. Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, Damian Pierce, those are the running backs. Burkhead, I think, is on some of his last legs, so they're not throwing the ball out of the backfield. Tight ends, Farrell Brown, are you, what? Brevin Jordan, they hope that he can be somebody. So I think you look around that Texans offense, it's got to go through John Metchie or it ain't going at all. Now, maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but I don't know.
I'm very excited to see John Metchie and Roger McCreary matching up again.
Ooh. I like that as well. But that would also...
McCreary's going to get some revenge.
You say that. That would insinuate that McCreary can get on the field. I didn't get that one, Mason. I'm not going to lie. I didn't get that one.
I think, and this is kind of the way I rationalized it and where I kind of got it to make sense for me, is that they don't want to pay Amani Hooker eventually next year. And they want to move Elijah Molden into Amani Hooker's role and have Roger McCreary take over Elijah Molden's role. I think that's kind
so
of the
plan. So slot there. Receiver. Or excuse me, slot.
He's definitely slot a slot corner.
Yeah, okay. Then that makes a little bit more sense. And that's something that I appreciated out of the Titans. The Steelers did a lot of the same stuff where the draft isn't necessarily just for this year. So many teams lose sight of that, and it's why they're so bad. It's why they're so bad. They think they fixed their problems in the NFL draft. They think they're filling a hole with a fourth-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and that's not the case. But if you get guys that you know you can teach and develop over the course of a rookie contract, they may not be the most elite player. You want to take your elite players in the first round, but those guys after that, you develop them into quality starters, and you pay attention to what your roster is and how your roster is expected to look over the next two or three seasons, and you're actually able to build in the draft rather than just select players. And that's why you look at the Baltimore Ravens, why their draft was so killer. They got rid of dead weight in Hollywood Brown, took two of the best players in the entire draft in the first round, and then continue to follow that up. We take guys like Daniel Faalele, Travis Jones, Jalen Armour Davis, you know, just value guys that maybe didn't fit the mold of the rest of the league, but they fit the mold of what the Baltimore Ravens are. And every time the Baltimore Ravens select was read off a card, you knew the name that was coming was like, holy hell, that guy is just a perfect Raven. How do they manage to do it again? And they did it over and over and over again. So there's a way of processing the NFL draft. I think the Texans had a solid draft. I don't think they took full advantage of the selections that they had. Thought they reached a little bit on Kenyon Green night one. Thought the Derek Stingley, probably not the best place to start your rebuild or officially start your rebuild. I mean, they rebuilded last year, but they didn't have any picks. Felt like they could have went in a better direction than that. That's splitting hairs, though. I think because you look around this team, and if you're on our lads, they highlight rookies in green. There are four rookies slated to be starters on this team, including Metchie, Kenyon Green, Derek Stingley, and Jalen Petrie, the other second-round pick. And then you go to the backups. Austin Deculus could win a job. Thomas Booker could win a job. Christian Harris could win a job. So you see how this Damian Pierce is going to be a solid option for them. So I think when you look through the grand scheme of things for this year, I think they did a great job. Building for the future, that's hard to say because of what you use those picks on. And I think that's where you look at teams like the Ravens, like the Titans, and how they pulled off their drafts, why it makes a tad bit more sense. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk with Jeff. Do want to tell you real quick about Alabama Vintage, 2210 University Boulevard, under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. Go check them out. Find something that you're going to love to wear, whether it's hats, commemorative T-shirts, memorabilia, jackets, jerseys. It's all there. Go check them out. Online, alabamavtg.com. Spend $60. You get free shipping on your order anywhere It's a great value, and you can find them on Instagram as well to check out the latest coming stock as well as the latest deals at Alabama VTG. We'll be right back after this on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny, the chance of a few scattered showers or storms through the evening hours. The high today 84, tonight's low 65. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, and again, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 85. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, Mason Woods, Joe Gaither behind the glass, talking NFL draft. We'll get into this Jordan Addison thing with Pitt and Southern California.
The real USC, the real, South Carolina.
No, the real USC is Southern California. I'm sure Jeff will disagree with that, but no, that... It's just where my brain wants to go for whatever reason. But Alabama's in that mix as well. And I've got an opinion on it that I think will surprise you if you listen to the show. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. First, let's go out to the phone lines and talk with Jeff. What's going on, Jeff?
How's it going, guys?
Going good.
Well, I know you got the NFL draft. What, DVR, you don't watch again this next weekend?
Yeah, sense. I might.
You probably do. I don't doubt it. If you have a 2018 draft, DVR too, so you go back and watch that.
I think I switched providers too many times. I think I lost track of it.
Wait a minute. You DVR the USFL draft too, didn't you?
Oh, definitely.
I know. Those 90 mosquitoes and 50 gnats with that ball game this weekend.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter recordings.
They need some food so they can get some food. Everything. Get some popcorn concessions and get some. Nobody wins them ball games, so nobody cares. So it'll last another year to be done, so. Last another year, y'all be finished. I'm glad the Steelers picked up Pickett. I didn't watch none of it. But I'm glad they picked him. But a couple guys from my alma mater signed free agent deals. Reed Blankenship, that he's a safety. If he makes it, he'll be the third cornerback safety in the NFL for my alma mater. Which you got Kevin Byer, which the All-Pro, but nobody cared. He wasn't drafted. He was anti. He was told no good. And he didn't go to the combine. He didn't get invited. But he just did All-Pros all. And he's one of the best in the business, but he was told no good when he came out of Middle Tennessee. And also, Javarius Ward is a world champion. He was told no good as well. He's got Super Bowl ringo. He's got something not a lot of people have, but he was the Chiefs. And he'll be up there. And we had, in the past, Don Griffin got two from the 49ers. He won two with the 49ers back in the day. And his brother James Griffin played as well for the Lions. And a couple of them, Mike Caldwell, played about 18 years for the Eagles, some other team. He's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And, he's here with the Bucks. He's got a ring from the Bucks. Now he's with the Jaguars, defensive coordinator. So maybe he can get another one over there. We'll see. But
I saw a stat towards the end of the draft that I think you'll like. With players being told they're not good enough, there are more Hall of Famers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that were undrafted than there are first, second, third, fourth overall picks.
I believe that. I believe that 100%. So, yeah. And also Kirby Smart's got something that Nick Saban don't have.
He does.
Number one pick.
Yep.
Number one pick in the draft. He's been in Alabama. He's had zero. Kirby Smart won.
That'll change Kirby next Smart year. Alabama will
it
get
will,
those
we will,
next
okay.
year.
We'll see. Is it going to be Will Anderson or Will Robinson? Is Will Robinson going to be drafted or Will Anderson?
I think his name is Will Anderson. I think he's the best player in college football.
If he don't get busted by Mercer player, if he don't get the aware road by him, he might have a chance.
I don't think we play any.
You don't play maybe the SCS school, so maybe he won't get nailed by one of them guys getting nailed. But he might be a good football player. But we had four drafts, of course. I know it's not enough for you, but of course we had four drafts.
Hey, four's a lot.
And a few.
Four's more than Texas had.
And a few signed undrafted contracts, Corker and McCall, some of them, so they've got their chance to, you know, make it in the make it in league. And no, South Carolina is not the real USC. They are picked ahead of us. They are picked ahead of us every year in the East because nobody's stupid. They don't know. But, you know, and also, what is his name? Barrow predicted Fortner would go to the Jaguars. I don't know if that's true or not. He said he did, so I don't know. But and what about this guy, the little weed and speeding up there at Bama? Your comments on that? Did y'all comment on that? I guess you didn't comment because the draft's going on. Weed speeding this weekend, little weed.
I was going to talk about it a little bit.
It's 12 o'clock next Friday. When you're going to talk about it, May 9th, May 16th. That's when you're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to talk about it on February 30th of 2023.
That's what I thought, February 30th of 2025. You ain't going to talk about it today, I can guarantee you. Because you got arrested, you got busted. So.
I'll talk about it right now. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Having weed stupid.
I didn't say that. It's stupid to be in the situation that you were in.
Well, true.
To be driving a car without insurance, that is damn near impossible.
True.
Especially as a Alabama football player. Like, you're too well taken care of for that. And then, if you have weed in your car and you're in a state where it's illegal, maybe don't drive above the speed limit. Choose your battles is all I'm saying. Just a tad bit of common sense.
And one final thing. Will Levis signed another NIL deal, this time with Paul Miller Ford in Lexington. He's got a Ford Bronco to ride around Lexington in campus. And also,
hopefully he doesn't have to run from anything in it.
What's that now?
I said hopefully he doesn't have to run from anything.
No, he won't be running from anything. He's throwing touchdown passes all day long, but that offensive line will protect him. And he's got one.
They will do that.
He's got one with a racehorse and one with a guy in Murfreesboro up here. That's three NIL deals. But and also, they've already said he might be a top 10 pick in the draft. I hope he is, because that means we've had a good football season, but nobody else thinks we can. Because Drew Jarman said we wouldn't have no dudes win the SEC. We got four drafted, though, but I know Mark's dude isn't good enough, but he'll be passing it. Some guy in the house, dude, this fall. Somebody used to wear a house, dude. Somebody fought a bear or something. A bear, Brian. He's a pretty good coach, but he wasn't good at saving, was. He was pretty good, though. He wasn't good at saving, but he tried to be. But what he did is he lasted a month and then goodbye, so he couldn't handle retirement. But Nick Saban can, but Brian couldn't. So y'all have a good day, and see if y'all get some more draft. Maybe y'all get a number one pick sometime. Maybe Nick Saban have one. It's Kirby Smart one, and Nick Saban 0, just like Alabama, Georgia 33, Alabama 18. Y'all hang in there and have a good one. See y'all.
I think Kentucky had a first overall pick a couple years back too, right? It was all Couch, right? Am I wrong? Like 1999, 1998 to the Browns, Tim Couch. He's Kentucky quarterback, right? I don't know if Will Levis will be a top 10 pick next year. Saw somebody that was charting his passes. A lot of them are behind the line of scrimmage. So you got to throw the ball downfield and over the middle. That's what you got to do nowadays. Otherwise they don't like you. They don't want to see that. That's what got Matt Corral in so much trouble, is all the RPOs they ran at Ole Miss. The simplicity of the offense. It's what got Malik Willis in trouble as well. The simplicity of the offense. So those offenses work better than they do in the pros now. Like, the Eagles got that 1 year off of RPOs. It didn't go far beyond that. But no, Jeff brought it up, and I did want to talk about it. Eli Ricks was arrested over the weekend for speeding, no insurance, possession of marijuana, first offense. And what I told Jeff is exactly that. I think it's dumb. You didn't pay for my opinion, but here it is. I think it's dumb that marijuana is illegal in the first place. But when the rules are the rules, you got to follow the rules, right? So, you know, follow the damn rules. And I don't know whose fault it is, okay, because I don't know how he got his car. I don't, okay? But I know that you play football at the University of Alabama, and you played football at Louisiana State University, which means you have been taken care of in some capacity. Now, regardless of whether you had that car before you got to college or whatever, you know that you can't drive without insurance. You know, like, if you just got the car like the other day, it's impossible to not have the insurance. So I mean, like, just a little bit of common sense. Like, if you've got to drive without insurance, I've been there, right? Stuff's expensive, right? I get that. Now, I mean, I don't, again, and play at the University of Alabama. That's where the money part comes in again. Hey, coach, I can't make my insurance payment this month. Well, why not? You make NIL money. Well, because I'm a stupid kid. Can you help me out, please? Coach will say, sure. Or here's someone who can help you, right? But if you do have to drive without insurance, I mean, shouldn't you drive below the speed limit? If you do have marijuana in your car in a state where it's illegal, shouldn't you drive below the speed limit? Right? Like, just a little bit of common sense. That's all. I'm not advocating breaking the law. But all this talk of speed limits has got to bring you back to the NIL. So what we're going to do on the other side of this break is we're going to talk about this Jordan Addison thing, the Pitt wide receiver that is apparently being bought by USC. We'll talk about it next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. So, if you listen every day or you listen from time to time, if you miss the show, by the way, I mean Spotify, iTunes, Tide 100.9 app, you got no excuses. No, I'm kidding. You can download any of those or use any of those services that you choose and set them up so that you have notifications when the show is made available on that platform so that you can digest the show at your leisure. And, hey, I mean, the benefit of being 1 hour, you know, it's really about 50 minutes of your time to check out Off the Edge and take the show in. But as it stands, I get on the mic a lot and advocate for NIL a lot. And love NIL, and love the way that it is going for a plethora of reasons. But when it comes to this Jordan Addison situation, Biletnikoff Award winner in 2021, caught 100 passes and 17 touchdowns from my new Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, Kenny Pickett, and is projected to be one of the top receivers in next year's draft behind Smith and Jigba from Ohio State. Well, you start talking about a guy who plays for a mid-sized school, I think is what you could call Pitt. Pitt could probably win the ACC again next year, but like their window is not large. And oftentimes in recent years, their best players were like under the radar kind of guys. Like the league knew about Aaron Donald. Like, I'm not going to act like he wasn't the 11th overall selection in his draft, but wasn't really an expectation he was going to be the best player in the league. You know, and teams weren't exactly like drooling over him for years leading into that draft either. But when those schools have those players, like the big worry with NIL and the transfer portal is that they'll leave for bigger schools. To which I say, that's how the world works, right? If eventually I work this job, hypothetically, work this job for the next 2 or 3 years, and I either am not getting more money or I'm not being granted the opportunities I expect to have earned for myself, then I'm going to move on to somewhere that's going to do that, right? Everybody does that. And if you don't, I mean, that's your own prerogative, but that's what people tend to do. And this is no different from a certain point of view. It can be just as simple as what it has been in the past. Jordan Addison had a hellacious year with what the best quarterback the school has seen since Dan Marino. Nowhere near as good as Dan Marino, but that's the point. That's the best they have had.
in a long, long time. Well, that quarterback's gone. He's got one more year before he's in the NFL. He's got a pre-existing relationship with Caleb Williams. Both guys are from the D.C. area and know each other. USC is USC, and USC has more life in it now because of Lincoln Riley being the new head coach. So in previous years, even if there was some sign of tampering, you would at least be able to point to those reasons and be like, well, hey, that makes sense, man. But here's the thing. First of all, former USC quarterback, ironically, Keaton Slovis is expected to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Panthers. He is not a scrub. He's not bad. He's not elite. He hasn't proven himself to be elite yet, but he's not a scrub, okay? He could be just as good as Kenny Pickett. I don't know what that was. And it wouldn't be that surprising to anybody. So, excuse number one, out the window. And then it comes all to fruition that this has a lot to do with NIL. And that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million and a home in place for Jordan Addison should he choose to go to USC. And apparently a source telling Pete Thamel at ESPN that Pittsburgh coach Pat Narduzzi caught wind of USC as a potential destination and called Lincoln Riley multiple times on Friday to express his displeasure.
You think Lincoln picked up?
No. I think that what you suggested earlier, what you and Joe suggested earlier, for Pat Narduzzi to make a cross-country trip to Lincoln Riley's office to pay him a personal physical visit, I think that is probably a due course here. Here's what I don't like. I don't like buying players off of other people's rosters. I like for those individuals, those players, to be in control of their decisions and to make the best decisions for themselves. If USC was the powerhouse that it expects to be in the next few years and all of the personal ties that Jordan Addison has, such as to Caleb Williams, the fact that that is a better destination for his professional prospects, NIL opportunities being greater, though not initially offered. If all of that was the case and Jordan Addison went to USC, I'd be all for it. Be like, hell yeah, man. Go get your bag, dude. Do your thing. I'm all about that. But USC or Alabama or any program calling a player that is on a roster and saying, we will pay you X million dollars to come play for us instead, that's BS, man. That is not it at all. Now, if you're listening to Inside the Locker Room, you may have heard this audio, but I want to play this clip from Aaron Taylor. I don't agree with all of it. I agree with some of it. There's other parts where I think he's just being a little bit over the top. But this is the founder of the Joe Moore Award, Aaron Taylor, a former NFL offensive lineman, and his thoughts on kind of the situation, not necessarily specifically Jordan Addison, but here's his thoughts. I want to play this and react to it on the other side.
Hey, college football. It's time to wake the fudge up. Empires don't stay empires forever. They crumble from within and almost always after great runs of dominance. We're at a tipping point, y'all. What's taking place right now behind the scenes in the NIL world is despicable, and it's dangerous and it's irresponsible. And this ain't about the kids getting theirs. Student athletes have always deserved a bigger piece of the pie. This is about the adults in the room. It's always been about the adults in the room, which is how we got the sham notion of amateurism in the first damn place. This is about the institutions and the donor bases and the development departments and the extremely successful men and women that make up that population. But this win by any means necessary mentality is a poison. It's termites, and those termites are eroding the fabric and foundation of what makes this sport the greatest on the planet. There's an old saying that no matter how far down the wrong road you've gone, turn around. Unfortunately for us, I think the genie's out of the bottle and we can't get this toothpaste back in the tube, but we can pull the damn car over, catch our breath, orient ourselves, and figure out a responsible way for everybody to win that is in the best interest of our sport. Because what we're doing now ain't, and we better figure that out.
Aaron Taylor should be a politician. he'd get some votes. Here's the thing. There's a lot I don't agree with in there, and a lot of it is some of the fear-mongering tactics that he used and other things. But here's another thing. Win at all costs, yes, be that. Do that. Win at all costs. This whole thing is about winning. Coaches lose their jobs and families are uprooted because of the lack of ability to win, right? Careers are spurned and careers never get off the ground because of the lack of ability to win. Sports is about winning. It's about winners winning. It's about winning. I don't get it. What did Bear Bryant say? I ain't never been nothing but a winner. Vince Lombardi talked a hell of a lot about winning all the time. It's about winning. But what he was right about, and this is where we're definitely going to have common ground on this, is the fact that the players always deserved a greater piece of the pie, but that the adults in the room, the people that I tend to call the suits, those people have murked it up for everybody. Those people have wasted their time and given absolutely no effort whatsoever into ensuring that this would go the right way. Now, whether that was a tactic of, look how terrible this is, don't you want us to reinstate amateurism? Because that's not going to work because it was flatly illegal. The U.S. government told you that. So that wasn't a real tactic. So this is, without a doubt, just laziness and incompetence by the side of the NCAA and the suits. You can blame the coaches if you want to, but I think you would be hard-pressed to give a reason why they shouldn't do what they're doing. Yes, would it feel absolutely insanely dirty if Jordan Addison wore crimson this upcoming season? Yeah, it would. It'd feel weird. It would go against the grain of a lot of things that we believe here at Alabama. And not just because he's a transfer, but because of the speculation that you have spent money on a player to take him away from another program. And there's just a lack of integrity there, a lack of morality and sportsmanship within the community of this sport. But I bet you'd all love it if Jordan Addison caught a touchdown pass in the national championship to ensure that the Crimson Tide hoists its 19th national championship, right? So there is a space where it exists where we don't care. Where all the things that we act like we care about during the season, during the offseason, we really don't. We want to see our guys in crimson beat the other guys who aren't wearing crimson, right? It really comes down to that simple of a process. And how you got here, why you got here, your purpose of being here doesn't fully matter on a Saturday afternoon. All that matters is that you help the Crimson Tide win. Because, again, this is all about winning. Because it's the NCAA's job. And if it's not, it needs to be somebody's job to ensure that this is a fair playing field. And I don't just mean taking the initiative to do what should have been done a long time ago and split the Power Five. It doesn't mean ensuring and doing what you were supposed to do a long time ago and expanding the playoffs to being something that makes sense. It doesn't just mean fixing NIL in the transfer. It means controlling your sport. You know, Matt, like we boo Roger Goodell almost for the irony of it now, but during the NFL draft and anytime he makes a public appearance, because he's the guy to be booed at. But could you imagine the NFL without Roger Goodell? It's not his job to completely keep it together, but his job is to be employed by the 32 owners. They're his boss, in case you didn't know, to make sure that the league functions correctly and that no one owner has too much power and yada, yada. You see where I'm going? It's not that college football needs a commissioner. I don't know the answer. I don't get paid enough to figure it out. There's a lot of guys that get paid a lot of money to sit on their ass and not figure it out for some reason. But the fact of the matter is that because college football has been in such utter chaos for the past 150 years, with no exaggeration, it's never been upheld the way it should have been. And now we're paying the price, and we're trying to tell the kids that are caught in the middle of millions of dollars in their offers and coaches who are held to their own devices and are told, hey, please don't cheat. But if you do, we can't do anything about it. Seriously, if Jordan Addison plays for the, I keep wanting to do it, the USC Trojans next year, and it comes out that there was tampering, who's going to do anything about it? Who's got the power? Nobody. What'll happen is that people on sports radio in Pittsburgh that care enough to cover the Panthers, because sports radio out there is pretty terrible from what I hear, they'll complain about it. People in USC and Los Angeles, they'll tell you it's no big deal. Welcome Jordan Addison. Hope you catch a lot of touchdown passes from Caleb Williams. And the rest of the country will tell you what their thoughts are on it. But what will actually happen is nothing. Nothing. Nothing will change. Nothing will happen to Lincoln Riley. Pat Narduzzi will just be upset. And the rest of the country will watch as Caleb Williams does indeed throw touchdown passes to Jordan Addison. Now, you could come years later, if Jordan Addison wins any kind of awards at USC, and pull a Reggie Bush to take his stuff away. But again, what are the rules? Who said they can't do it? And what is the precedent for a punishment should it happen? There is none, because the NCAA drug its ass. And now we're over a calendar year away before any kind of change actually exists. And Mark Emmert steps down, and the NCAA begins its evolution into whatever it's going to be next. We're a year away from that happening. So another year, another cycle of college football where we wonder if the best recruiters can actually recruit anymore, or if we're going to continue with this free agency thing that is completely unbound and unkept. It's impossible. College football has no legs to stand on, but yet we're trying to chop them out at all times. Swinging it air, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. You don't have to like the Jordan Addison thing. You can praise him if he comes here. You can praise him if he goes to USC. You can hope that he stays at Pittsburgh for the integrity of the game. But at the end of the day, that kid's just going to do what's best for him, and the coaches are just going to do what's best for them. And because there's no rules, nobody's going to get in trouble. And when you get upset, don't get upset at Jordan. Don't get upset at Lincoln. Don't get upset at USC or Narduzzi for not paying more or any of that. Be upset at the NCAA for continuously showing the consequences of their lack of action. That'll do it for today. Tomorrow we'll talk with AJ Spurr, get his thoughts on all the Crimson Tide guys that were selected, this Jordan Addison thing included, and much more. We'll have a fantastic week as we dive further into the actual offseason now that the NFL draft has passed. Yay. The college football season will be here before we know it. It'll be here before we know it. Just blink a couple of times. It'll be here. The Jay Barker Show is up next. Until tomorrow, y'all take it easy. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny, the chance of a few scattered showers or storms through the evening hours. The high today, 84, tonight's low, 65. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, and again, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high, 85. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to all.